had. "Don't worry about it," Dex said, almost in a whisper. "I'll handle my dad and work with your Navajo guys. You're not going to lose Mars." As they pulled away from their embrace, Dejurova shook her head stubbornly. "It is dangerous for one man to be here alone. If some emergency comes up, he won't be alone." Jamie turned to see Vijay striding determinedly toward the galley table. "I'm staying too," she said. "But you can't," Jamie blurted. Very sweetly, she replied, "I haven't been asked, that's true. But I'm staying with you, mate." "What about Trudy? She needs..." Vijay walked toward him as she answered, "Stacy and Tommy have enough paramedical training to take care of her on the trip back. She's recuperating, okay? No worries. If something pops up, they'll be able to get advice from Earth, same as I would." "You want to stay?" Jamie asked, afraid this was all a dream, a hallucination. She was standing less than an arm's length away from him. Looking squarely into his eyes, she said, "Yes, I want to." Every other thought flew from Jamie's consciousness. He wrapped his arms around her and kissed her soundly. She did likewise as the others sat there, thunderstruck, until someone let out a low, long, appreciative whistle. Noon. Sol 389. 5 seconds, Dejurova's voice crackled tensely in Jamie's helmet earphones. 4. He and Vijay were standing just outside the dome, gloved hands clasped together, their eyes on the LAV sitting nearly a full kilometer away. 2. 1. The top half of the stubby spacecraft leaped up in a sudden crack of thunder that blasted dust and pebbles across the barren red ground. Despite himself, Jamie flinched. He craned his neck as the ascent vehicle rose higher and higher into the cloudless pink sky, the roar of its rocket engines dwindling into a thin, muted rumble and then fading altogether. "There they go," said Vijay. She sounded almost triumphant. Jamie followed the bright speck until the top edge of his visor cut off his view. Stacy, Dex, and the others were on their way back to Earth, with the Pathfinder hardware and Trudy Hall's problems. He turned to face Vijay. Before he could say anything, her voice sounded buoyantly in his earphones. "Well, it's just you and me now, mate." He felt less than cheerful. "I'm responsible for her life now. She trusts me, and I've got to live up to her trust." "We're Martians now, aren't we?" Vijay asked. "Not yet," he replied. "We're still guests, visitors. We still have to live inside these suits. We still have to respect Mars for what it is."
"Will it always be like this?"
"I don't know," Jamie answered. "Always is a long time. Maybe someday, when we're smarter, much wiser than we are now, maybe our grandchildren will be able to live on Mars with Mars, or their grandchildren. I don't know." As they started back for the dome's airlock, Vijay wondered, "Will we be able to protect Mars the way you want to? I mean, keep people like Dex's father from spoiling it all?" Even though he knew better, Jamie tried to shrug inside the hard suit. "All we can do is try, Vijay. The ICU is arguing against the Navajo claim, but it looks as if the Astronautical Authority is going to recognize it as legal and binding." He heard her laughing.
"The Navajo reservation is now bigger than the states, isn't it?"
"If you take in all of Mars, yes. But this isn't part of the reservation. It's..."
"Don't take it so seriously."
"But it is serious," he said. "I'm hoping that this will motivate Navajo kids to get involved in Mars, to study science and astronautics, to
become Martians."
He took a breath. "Yeah, maybe. Eventually. Someday." They stopped at the airlock hatch, and, without a word between them, both turned to look over the red, rock-strewn landscape.
"If only we could have met them, talked to them."
"The Martians?"
"Yes. We can't even read the writings they left."
"They've given us their message, Vijay. The important message. They existed. There were intelligent beings on this world. There must be others out there among the stars. We're not alone." she sighed heavily. "But it's just you and me here on Mars for the next 4 months."
"Yes."
"We've got a whole world to ourselves." "I love it here," Jamie said.
"It's peaceful," she replied.
"I'll give you that." "Dex is going to have his hands full when he gets back. His father's going to fight him every inch of the way."
"Oh, I don't know,"
VJ said confidently. "Dex's dad won't cause that much trouble.
He'll win the old man over."
"Do you think so?"
"He can charm a snake out of a bush when he wants to."
Jamie said nothing.
"Even if he doesn't,"
VJ went on, "Dex'll raise enough money for a fresh expedition with his foundation."
"It won't be profitable," Jamie said.
"You think not?"
"Dex has ideas about virtual reality tours of Mars, you know. See, feel, hear. The complete experience of being on Mars without the expense or inconvenience of leaving home. And selling Mars rocks, that sort of thing."
Despite himself, Jamie gritted his teeth.
"He'll make a profit, one way or the other, don't you worry."
"And pump it into further exploration."
"You'll see."
The sun was high overhead. The soft winds of Mars murmured across the empty rolling plain. Jamie saw the rocks and the worn rims of ancient craters and the dunes off in the distance, spaced as precisely as soldiers on parade. He looked down for the footprints of the long-extinct Martians and saw instead their own bootprints in the red dust and the cleat tracks of their tractors and rovers. He looked out toward the horizon again, and envisioned his grandfather Al out there, smiling at them.
"This is where our path has led, Grandfather," Jamie said silently. "We're home now."
"Do you love me?"
VJ asked. A day earlier, the question would have startled Jamie. But now he knew. Now there was no doubt in his mind, no conflict.
"Yes," he said unequivocally. "I love you, VJ."
Then she asked,
"Do you love me more than Mars?"
He heard the smile in her voice. He hesitated, then answered,
"That's a completely different thing."
VJ laughed delightedly.
"Good. I wouldn't have believed you if you'd said yes."
She grasped his gloved hand in hers, and they turned back to the airlock hatch, ready to begin their first night alone on the planet Mars. Author's afterword. The story you have read is fiction, based as solidly as possible on the known facts about conditions on Mars. I have extrapolated from those facts, of course. That is the prerogative and responsibility of the novelist. At this moment, no one knows if life once existed on Mars, or if life exists there now. No one knows, and we will not find out for certain until we explore our red-robed neighboring world much more thoroughly. The idea that Mars once harbored an intelligent civilization may strike the reader as a fanciful speculation. Yet, as of this writing, it is a speculation that cannot be disproved. Not until we travel to Mars to search out its marvels for ourselves will we know for certain. Probably intelligent Martians never existed. Possibly there has never been life of any kind on the red planet. But we will find surprises on Mars, of that you can be sure. An entire world is there to be explored. A new age of discovery is soon to begin. Mars waits for us. Ben Bova, Naples, Florida, 1998. This concludes the reading of Return to Mars by Ben Bova. Copyright 1999 by Ben Bova. This book was read by Stefan Rudnicki.